So I should probably speak in some way to Serena for my Devar Torah, since this is, after all, her bat mitzvah. But your dad is the treasure of the shul, and so this is dedicated to you. I am going to be speaking about the basic commodity of economic systems. And while I always tell B'nai Mitzvah kids to tell us at the beginning what you're going to talk about, I'm going to break my own rule and make you wait a minute or two to figure out what that most basic and central commodity is. So be patient and pay attention. And let me turn now instead to a joke that those of us remember was told quite a bit when the Soviet Union was regnant. It is said that during those eras, workers would say, as long as the government pretends to pay us, we will pretend to work. Now, there's a lot that could be unpacked from that joke. It's a capitalist joke told about the Soviet Union, I think. But it is also, I think there's an element of subterfuge baked into that statement, that there has to be, in a system like that, pretense. The government won't really pay us, we won't really work, but we'll make a good show of it. Subterfuge. Subterfuge is this ability to carefully pretend and fake our way out, and it highlights the most essential part of a market system economy, and not just a market system economy, which is the commodity of trust. Without trust, economic systems do not work. There has to be an implicit element that the foundation is that we are working and operating together. I have to believe that you'll make good on your word. And we have to believe that there's some equity, some fairness in the goods we exchange. The salary that I give you and the time and effort you give to me. And as much as Judaism speaks and urges us to refrain from lashon hara, from ill speech and gossip, it simultaneously tells us that there are three crowns of Torah and that the most essential is Keter Shem Tov, the crown of a good name. Reputation matters in a marketplace economy. Just look at the hundreds of reviews you can find on Yelp or Amazon telling you about how honorable and how trustworthy a particular vendor was or was not, and the desire of people to share their experiences, because they understand that that trust and knowledge needs to flow for the system as a whole to work. Trust, in other words, is the lubricating commodity that eases all of our transactions. And when I speak of transactions, I'm speaking of our work transactions, our home transactions with friends, and of course, this season, in the realm of politics as well. It lies at the heart of dialogue that we won't be played when we speak from the heart about our strongly held beliefs, and that when we listen, we won't be duped by the person speaking. Trust is essential. I think when we look down the road at the election and the two most likely people to be candidates, we will see that this country will struggle to develop faith in either one of those people. Anyone who signs a contract anticipates that the other person will live up to it, and lawyers draft it only so that the worst measures will be in place should people not live up to the terms, but there's an expectation that we will abide by them. And should the agreement change, there's also an understanding that people can sit down again and work it out in a way that matches the new conditions. So trust is essential. One of my favorite books that I've been carrying around with me for 3 decades now is entitled The Gift by Lewis Hyde. Lewis Hyde, his book, The Gift, Imagination and the Erotic Life of Property, speaks with remarkable lucidity about communities of gift exchange where the economy is built on free passing of objects or values one to the other. And one example he gives in there concerns the scientific community. Scientists traditionally have given away their best product, original research, for free to journals, and they call that a contribution. We read about contributions in our Torah reading today. And the lesser form of giving and exchange in the scientific world are the people who write textbooks or popularize science, and they give their gifts away for money. And the reason for the difference is that in that scientific community of trust, recognition can flow from one to the other, and there is this remarkable parity that flows back and forth, and when we extend it, that commodity will not work, and we give a lesser commodity, that of money itself. So I am telling you this because I think that the Torah portion, the Haftarah, and the Maftir together present us with a very deep understanding of how markets and societies and communities ought to operate. And it had to do this because we're dealing with a slave people who have just come out in which there was no trust, because that is one of the essences of slavery, that there can be no dependability upon what your master will ask of you. And the way the Torah cohered a community and changed us from slaves into free people was to have us engage in this central building project of making a Mishkan, a common center of prayer. And it does that in ways that Serena mentioned as well, by coming up with a source of funding, an equitable tax in which everybody could partake, a half shekel. Because it understood that for there to be one level of trust, there needed to be a type of gift of support that everybody could partake in, that we all could feel good. We all are significant in there. And that is what Serena talked about as sameness that comes out of the book, The Giver. Everybody could bear that burden. But you know, the Torah is so subtle and nuanced, and it would not stop there, because I have to tell you, and Jason would have to tell us, a half shekel, $5, 50, whatever number we want to come with it, was not enough, even in ancient Israel, to support the Mishkan. And the Torah enumerates numerous types of taxes and gifts of giving by which the community could support one another and say, we have a role, we have a part, we are trustworthy members of the community. There are tithes which are based on income, in which people with more give more. There is a half shekel tax that everyone can participate in. There were special gifts of our labor and time. When Solomon was building the first temple, we have the corvée, in which people were asked to give a certain number of months out of their life to help in the construction of the temple. In our Torah portion, we talked about gifts of the heart, of materials based on people's own capacities, artwork, skins, all sorts of beautiful things that helped to develop this community. When we take this staggered tax system as a whole, for me, I find a tremendous bit of wisdom aimed at building trust and engagement and participation confidence-building measures to let us know that this was not a slave society, but a society of equal members with different capacities, but equally obligated to support and build it. There was a space for sameness and a space for difference. And isn't that a remarkable notion of wisdom? In other words, I'd like to wrap this up by saying that the Torah reminds us when our own society is so polarized, when we have no faith in those who think differently, that the basics of all media of exchange is trust. All economics, and when I say economics, I mean the shuk of spirit and the commerce of community, the dollars of dialogue, the equity of equity. Trust is the basic commodity, and without it, societies break down. We have an obligation in our lives to ask, how do we become more trustworthy? How do we give from a place of vulnerability and fairness and equity in all our interactions? And if we do that as the ancient Jews did, you get a visual reminder at the end of that accomplishment. You get a mishkan, a sanctuary whose root is Shochen, a place where God can dwell among us. And without trust, we learn that this first and second temples were destroyed because of sinat chinam, because of senseless hatred, the very opposite of trust. Our society, our communities across this country are at a perilous inflection point, and it's up to us, each of us, in our small interactions, one after another, to speak honorably, to build connections and relationships, even as we argue for the good as we see it. Much is at stake. I urge us all to take that task seriously. Shabbat Shalom.